كورسارا في البحراتان. Mediterran ratti taqlubija rebħiet u tbatija fl-avventuri tal-baħħara kursara fosto madbir ta' Malti li rari qataw qalbhom jitqabdu biex ikaxkru nisu mħażen lejn ardhom. Għal darba oħra pjaċir tiegħi nsellmilkom nilqakom għal edizzjoni oħra, l-aħħar żewġ edizzjonijiet fil-fatt ta' kursara fl-ibħra tagħna. Kif tkellimna kemm il-darba matul is-sensiela, nittama li ż-żewġ sensieliet anzi sew biex pinġejna kwadru kbir sħiħ u poġġejna mhux biss il-korxu f'postu f'Malta, jew kważi f'postu ma nkunux ambizzjużi daqshekk li ngħidu li wasalna fl-obġettiv li kellna f'moħħna, imma li anki poġġejni jekkem jista' jkun fil-Mediterran. Ma ngħidux fid-dinja għaliex huwa iktar tal-Mediterran u wara kollox. L-ambizzjoni tas-sensiela kienet il-korso fl-ibħra tagħna, l-kursara fl-ibħra tagħna, u l-ibħra tagħna huwa l-Mediterran u dawk li huma iżgħar qrib. Jiena wkoll il-ġimgħa li għaddiet għadtilkom li l-aħħar żewġ edizzjonijiet ħan iddedikom lill-professur Alain Blondy li huwa Franċiż, huwa professur l-Università tas-Sorbonne li hija l-iktar università ta' prestiġju x'vera Franċiża. U l-Università ta' Malta, għaliex kif se tisimgħu fl-intervista ilu Malta mill-1974. Interessanti wkoll istudju ta' fuq kif spiċċa Malta. Il-professur Blondy se jagħtina f'daw iż-żewġ edizzjonijiet intervista verament interessanti mingħand bniedem li studja l-korsu għal 20 ta' snin li għen studenti oħra jaslu fil-livelli kollha għoljin, dottorat, eċetera, fuq l-istess suġġett jew suġġetti li jorbtu ħafna miegħu. Fuq il-baħħara għall-inqas, jew fuq il-baħar, jew fuq il-kummerġ bil-baħar. U għalhekk se jkun qed jiġbor mhux daqstant il-korso f'Malta, imma aktar il-korso fil-Mediterran. Biex minsegwa daw iż-żewġ sensiliet, mingħajr ma jrid, ġi edukat iktar bħali li għamiltom, sirna nafu aktar il-kumplessità ta' dan il-fenomenu. U naħseb di tiswa biex inpoġġu għatu sabiħ biex nagħmlu l-kuruna biex ngħidu hekk fuq il-korso fil-Mediterran kif anki qed jarah professur li r-riċerki tiegħu mhux biss jisabu Malta imma ħafna u aktar ukoll Franza. Meta ngħid Franza mhux Pariġi biss, Marsilja, Toulon u postijiet oħra. M'hemmx dubju li f'Malta il-professur Blondy għamel bħalma għamlu professuri oħra Maltin distinti li kienu fil-programm tagħna u kemm jista' jkun sab kixef urnexxielu isib diversi ejjun ta' arkivi li forsi mhix dejjem ikunu marbutin immedjatament mal-korso jew mal-baħar jew mal-ħwejjeġ marittimi kollha minn konflitt sa' kummerċ, imma bis-sistema tiegħu iddedikata bil-ħbieb bil-konnessjonijiet fis-sens ħbieb kollegi u konnessjonijiet li kellu fil-floqsma tal-istudju f'Malta irnexxielu joħroġ qatt kbir ta' pubblikazzjonijiet. U għadu qed joħroġ fil-fatt se jsemminna kważi biex ngħid hekk f'aħbar esklusiva ġdida f'dan il-programm se jsemminna wkoll pubblikazzjoni importantissima li se tiswilna ħafna 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 dawk li jistudjaw speċjalment movimenti marittimi fl-ibħra tagħna. Ħan jaqaf hemmhekk għalissa fuq il-professur Blondy għax hu jispjega fuq innifsu tant ħafna tajjeb fl-intervista ħan nibdew illum u ntemmu l-ġimgħa d-dieħla. Sa dan it-tant se mmur in-naħa l-oħra. Wetkom il-ġimgħa l-oħra li forsi traskurajna xi ftit l-aspett mużikali. Għaw tarif u wieħed mit-tarif li sewwa s-komissa taqra kat li mamu bħas-soltu huwa miġbur minn Noel Danastas, ħabib ieħor tiegħi li huwa arkivista, naħseb ħafna jafuh minn imur jirriċerka, huwa attivista, arkivista u attiv ħafna fil-xogħol li għandu x'jaqsam ma' riċerka. Fil-fatt nistgħu ngħidu li dan huwa studju tiegħu li jismu id-daqqaqa fil-festi tagħna fis-seklu 18 imma aħna bissa nagħmluh kollu l-istudju tiegħu għal dan nirringrazzja wkoll barra lilu li ġibidli l-attenzjoni u offrili li niċċitaw l-artiklu parti mill-artiklu tiegħu, nirringrazzjaw ukoll is-soċjetà fil-armonika Nicolò Isouard, kombinazzjoni nibqgħu fl-ilma tagħna biex ngħidu hekk u x'vera fl-istess seklu li fil-programm tagħhom għallelu l-400 sena tal-parroċċa tal-Mosta mill-1608 sal-2008 ħarġu programm verament sabiħ li huwa preżentabbli joħxon jott fuq 300 paġna imma minn dan l-artiklu ta' Noel Anastas ħadna id-daq fuq ix-xwieni tal-ordni, ħadna dik il-parti min jinteressah iktar id-daqqaqa Maltin marbutin mal-festa Maltija, allura l-artiklu jinfirex fuq xi ħames faċċati sitta u huwa innotat b'mod dettaljat ħafna. U għalhekk min huwa dilettant jipprova jew imur ifittex il-kopja jekk kellu diġà tal-dana il-ktejjeb, mhux ktejjeb għax huwa volum tista' tgħid, jew ikella jara kif jikseb kopja mqarta dak l-artiklu anke permezz ta' xi fotokopji mingħand xi ħadd mill-Mosta li probabbli għandu il-kopja. Imma din interessanti, waw is-sabiħ kemm jidħlu elementi biex jgħinuna nirriċerkaw, insibu u waslu lilkom is-semmija tagħna dan it-tarif. Għalhekk dan huwa tarif interessanti minn Noel Anastas li se taqra Katlin Mamo blisem id-daqq fuq ix-xwieni tal-ordni.
Xwieni tal-ordni ma kienx biss dak ta' tnabaru l-fifri, kien hemm numru ta' daqqaqa ta' trombi, obwe u klarinetti u dak li kien iżomm ir-ritmu tal-qdif. L-ordni ta' San Ġwan minn dejjem ħabbrek li jiġu mal-min dawn l-istrumenti li l-kull min ikun irid saħansitra lin-nies taċ-ċorma u l-iskjavi. Dawn kienu jnaqdu flimkien u jagħtu semhom f'xi okkażjoni speċjali u dikri kreattiva. Maż-żmien din ix-xorta ta' mużika bdiet taqbad l-art f'okkażjonijiet ta' ferħ, festi u purċissjonijiet. Reġimenti, il-flotta u kulxini kellhom banda tagħhom, kif fil-fatt kellha l-armata torka. Ma kienitx banda b'ħafna strumenti iżda kienet biżejjed biex taqdel ħtiġijiet tal-istess ċini, kif ukoll f'ċirkustanzi mhux tas-soltu. Dan ukoll jikkonferma Antonio Bosio fejn jagħti deskrizzjoni x'sab il-Gran Mastru Pierino del Ponte meta fl-1534 tela fuq ix-xini. Fl-1603 l-Kapitlu Ġenerali ddeċida li jdaħħal fuq il-Kapitana u fuq xwieni oħra ftit klarinettisti u daqqaqa ta' trombi. Dawn id-daqqaqa wkoll kienu jduqgħu fil-palazz tal-Gran Mastru kif għamlu Nikola u Claudio Tedesco. Tard fis-seklu 19 dawn id-daqqaqa tal-pifara u tamburo kienu nies tar-reġimenti Ingliżi. Tul l-istess seklu n-numru ta' strumenti żdied. Din hi meqjusa bħala l-ewwel formazzjoni bikrija ta' banda kif nafu llum. Fis-seklu 18 madankollu wieħed isib numru kbir ta' daqqaqa tat-tambur, fifra u strumenti oħra tan-nifs, attivi f'servizz fuq ix-xwieni tal-ordni. Li fuq ix-Xambek San Pietru kien hemm tamborlino u pifaro. Fis-seklu 18 fuq is-San Giovanni kien hemm ekwipaġġ ta' 169 ruħ, Fostom kienem nerba daqqaqa ta' tromba, fostom Simone Tedesco u Giuseppe Bonnet, li dawn tħallsu żewġ skudi u sitta ri kull wieħed fix-xahar. Żewġ daqqaqa ta' tambur, Carlo Saliba u Giuseppe Ganado, kif ukoll il-pifaro Paolo Arnaud. Fuq is-Santa Teresa kien hemm it-tamburlino Francesco Borg li kien jitħalla żewġ skudi fix-xahar, filwaqt il-pifaro Antonio Fabri kellu ħlas ta' skud u sitta ri. Erba ta' frar 1762 numru ta' daqqaqa tal-flawt u t-tambur bejnietom tħallsu 14 skud. Il-lista tinkludi l-Francesco Borg u Giuseppe Ganado li f'dak iż-żmien kienu jdoqqu t-tambur fuq il-vaxxell San Giovanni. Jissemmew Pasquale Uber għatti fuq il-vaxxell San Antonio, Carlo Saliba u Silvestro Borg jdoqqu t-tambur fuq ix-xambekki San Paolo u San Pietro rispettivament. Maħħom hemm ukoll imniżel l-isem ta' Paolo Arno u maħħom kien hemm is-Surġent Ganado.
Wara dak it-tarif nittama lilkom ħafna kurzita interess dokumentat bl-ismijiet ta' Maltin bħalna li kienu jdoqqu hemm anke il-familja Arno, pereżempju nsellem minn hawn il-Paul Arno li fi żmienna wieħed mill-mużiċisti ewlenin mhux vera kellu fil-familja għax il-familja Arno hija familja Franċiża li żgur baqta' u Paul Arno tal-lum niżel minnu. Interessanti li kienu kol Paolo Arno kombinazzjoni xi buż nannu ta' Arno tal-lum li kien diġa fil-mużika u għalhekk tiġri fid-demm kif jgħid il-Malti. Naddu minnu fih għall-professur Blondi, Alain Blondi, li oġbu jiddedika il-ħin tagħna l-ħin għal żewġ intervisti tista' tgħid waħda twila ħafna llum nagħmlu l-ewwel parti. U bħalma nagħmel dejjem jien meta jiġi xi ħadd ġdid, kelli okkażjoni li dan mhux tal-li huwa ġdid. Veru li għaddi ħafna żmien Malta kważi nofs is-sena, imma mill-banda l-oħra huwa bniedem biżel ħafna meta jiġi Malta għandu l-istudenti tiegħu kemm Maltin u kemm barranin. Għandu r-riċerki tiegħu, għandu l-kitbiet tiegħu, l-pubblikazzjonijiet. U għalhekk rid isib il-ħin għalina wkoll. U nieħu gost li mhux biss sab il-ħin imma daħal fid-dettall. U naħseb dak li tagħna l-ewwel fuq innifsu għattilkom, meta jkun xi ħaġa ġdid, nisimgħu kif ir-rabta tiegħu nibtet ma' Malta. Għalhekk ħanħallikom f'idej din l-intervista tiegħu bl-Ingliż għalkemm huwa Franċiż jitkellem ħafna tajjeb bl-Ingliż ovvjament u għamilniha bl-Ingliż għabbenefiċċju ta' ħafna mis-semmija li ma jkunux isegwu l-Franċiż ħalli b'daqshekk tasalan dawk kollha li ħadu interess din is-sensiela u nittama japprezzawa wkoll. Għalikom professur Alain Blondi.
It was in 74. I was working on Cyprus at the time, and there was a political problem in Cyprus, and my flight was cancelled. And I received a message from the company, and they told me, "You have, or either you have your money back, or we can give you a ticket for Malta." I didn't know Malta except for the nights, and I arrived in Malta without having prepared my my journey. So I discovered Marsa Schlock, Marsa Alfort, Marsa Scala, and so on. Well, and I said, no, never, never. So it's enough. I spent 8 days in Malta, and I shall never come back. So when I was at the university in September, and my students told me, where are you? So I was in Malta. Oh, how lucky are you? So, well, so because at that time it was, you know, à la mode to go in Gozo. Saint Lawrence was a very French place for holidays. So they told me, oh, it's marvelous. Well, okay. So I decided to come back, and I came back years after. Well, okay. And I discovered Malta for the first time, because I prepared my travel and I discovered Malta. And I met some eminent people like Peter Serracino in Glot or Don Juan Azzopardi and so on. And they told me, you know, oh, you are lucky, you are reading French, so you have a lot of archives here in French. Well, so I went to the archives and I changed my mind. At that time, you know, in France we have two theses. We have the PhD and the post-PhD thesis. To be a professor, you need a post-PhD thesis. So I was looking for a subject for my post-PhD thesis, and I decided to make this thesis about the history of Malta. So I spent many years in the archives of Malta, and I remember one of the French ambassador in the 80s, I was used to tell that Professor Blondy, I was not professor at that time, that Blondy was in Malta like a rat in a big cheese.
So, because you're always in the archives.
Absolutely right.
That is true. Before we move on to history, you have now a long span of experience studying and also teaching in Malta, research, but also at the same parallel time, you do the same in France,
yes,
obviously,
yes.
In other countries too, but in France you are a professor at the Sorbonne, and that's where you have your students as well. Mm-hmm. How do the French students, academicians, historians, mm-hmm. so to speak, view Malta? What I mean here is that I have the impression that in the Anglophone world, Malta is attached a lot to the World War II. Whereas in France, because of their big interest in the Mediterranean, Malta means something else or something bigger. Am I right in this impression?
Yes, but it's different. You know, you have two kinds of people teaching or approaching history. They are historians of the 18th century or the 16th century, so they are interested by Malta because of the Great Siege or because of the Order of Malta and the time of the French rule in Mediterranean, that was the 18th century. Then the English period is unknown in France. And you have also people very interested by the role of Malta during the Second War. So this is very important. When I see, for example, the books printed in France about Malta, not about the Knights, it's always about the Second World War.
I see. So that is also of interest.
Absolutely,
in France.
Yes, yes, yes.
You must have encouraged a number of French students to further their studies about Malta.
Absolutely.
Once you know it very well.
Yeah.
Do you find a lot of feedback there?
The problem, you know, it's to find a student reading Italian, French, and Latin. This is the problem.
Because of the archives.
Because of the archives. This the problem.
That's right.
So I had three good students. One worked on the history of the trade and commerce. Another one, she's a lecturer now at the University of Nice, worked on the history of the 16th century Malta, mm-hmm. and a priest, because he was a priest and so he could read Latin, worked, worked on the Inquisition in Malta during the 16th, 17th and 18th century, and he's a professor at the University of...
That is very interesting. You have a long list of publications, which are about the history of the Mediterranean, but there is a special focus on Malta very often. Would you say that you concentrated on a particular period of history in Maltese history, or were the epic of the knights maybe your biggest attraction?
No, the problem in France, you know, when you are an historian, you have to choose. So you have to choose from the prehistory to the end of Middle Ages and from the beginning of the modern era to nowadays. So you have to choose. So I choose the second way. So I teach and I work on the history of the 16th, 17th, 18th century in Malta and even 19th and 20th century if it is possible. But, you know, from my... the beginning of my studies, I was an archaeologist, so I am most interested by prehistory and archaeology. But, you know, I had to teach what I'm made for.
Yes, yes. In fact, your publications reflect this period quite a lot, and it would be impossible to speak about all the publications because you don't only have publications which are for sale in print, but also in print going to be published, right?
Absolutely, yes.
I come to the coursery now because, first of all, because I have this particular series on Campus FM, but also because it's a fascinating subject and maybe in Malta we didn't speak too much about it and at a public level. In the academic world, yes, but not at a public level. So people are fascinated now by how much Malta was involved in coursery. To what degree would you say that Malta played a major part in coursery, once we speak about it?
Sure, but first we have to make the difference between pirate and corsair. So this is very important because I read sometimes pirates, corsair, it's not the same word. A pirate is a thief. A corsair is paid by the government to be a thief. So it's different.
A legal difference.
Yeah, there is a legal difference, yes. So Malta was important, even at the Roman times, for coursery, yes, but during the knights, you know, we have to resettle the history in the internal history. So when the Ottoman conquered all the Arabic world, then Egypt, then North Africa, it was possible because the Western countries were divided by religious problems. France no longer existed at that time. It was a civil war between Catholic and Protestants. Spain was falling, you know, because they were under the civil war in its colonies of Belgium. So it was terrible at that time. So the Christian world was divided. So the Muslim could at that time invade all North Africa and Palestine. So when the Pope decided to organize the crusade, so after the great siege it was Lepanto, and after Lepanto it was the end of the war in the Mediterranean Sea. And the treaty of 1573 decided that trade will be more important than war. But the problem was that all the Ottomans who were living in Algiers, Tunis, Tripoli, Cairo and so on were janissaries. Janissaries, that means Yeniçeri in Turk, new troops. They were belonging to the nobility of the Ottoman Empire, and they didn't want to work, as all the nobles, you know, so they want to fight, and they were no longer fight. So they decided to become corsairs. So corsary and corsaring was Brodel told corsaring a lower form of the war, but I would say it's a lower form of the economy. because those people didn't want to work, so they have to have phrase.
Yeah.
So they took boats, ships, people, and wares, not to for themselves, but to resell them. So they resell the boats, they resell the people, and the intermediaries between the corsaries and the owners or the family of the slaves were the Jews. Mm-hmm. And those Jews were living in Livorno. So those Jews came in Tunis, in Algiers, and they became very important. So, for example,
in a Muslim country, but still,
yes, but you
economically.
Know,
economically,
in Turkish countries
or in Turkish.
So the Regency. Don't forget that in Regency, first they were the Turks, mm-hmm. then they were the Christians, renegades. Mm-hmm. After they were the Jews, and at the end they were the Muslims from the country, the natives. After the Jews, so this is the hierarchy.
This is very
different. Yeah. And even between the Jews, there were the Jews who were in Tunis and Tripoli before the Turks. So they were living in a district called Hara, so it's a ghetto. And the other one from Livorno lived in the town, not in a ghetto, but normally they were dressed like the Europeans. They wear a wig, a hat. And, for example, when you are in Tunis, you have two Jewish districts. One is the Hara, for the native Jews, and the other one is Souk al-Grana, so, because Grana is the Arabic plural of Gourni, and Gourni is Legorni. Okay. So they were from Italy, and they, you know, those Jews from Legorn were in Algiers, Tripoli, but they lived also in London and Amsterdam. So, you know, it was the reselling of what the corsairs took was very important, because they were resold in London and Amsterdam. So the Jews of the Regencies were the spies for the English.
Kur Sara fil-Pratana, illum il-professur Alain Blondi mill-Università ta' Sorbonne u mill-Università ta' Malta qed jagħtina kwadru sħiħ tal-kors of Malta. Qabel qed jgħidilna wkoll dwaru u dwar l-istudju kemm tiegħu u tal-istudenti tiegħu Franċiżi fuq Malta. Komplu isimgħu Kur Sara fil-Pratana.
At the end, well, it was in the 17th century, 18th century. All the minister of finance of those regencies, Rasnadar in Tunis, Rasnadji in Algiers, were Jews. So if you go to the archives of Algiers or Tunis, you find the economical archives in Arabic, written in Jewish characters.
Yes.
So it's very difficult, you know, because if you don't read.
Exactly. It shows this historical background, which you will explain.
So this was the role of corsaring in the 18th century. So the Christians decided to do the same.
Exactly.
And Malta was in charge of being those and this answer to the Muslim corsairs. So they became Christian corsairs, and we write counter corsaring. No, it's not counter, but it was corsaring, Christian corsaring.
Yes. So,
and this lasted during all the 16th and till mid 17th century. What happened in the mid 17th century? France came back. On the Mediterranean stage. Why? Because had relations with the civil war was finished, King Henry IV and Richelieu, and the French trade became very relations with the barbarous corsaries. We had consuls, the only became very important. And in the 17th century, Mediterranean, so France was the most important, only nation. Was very angry against the Corsairs. France was the most important nation at the time. And Louis XIV was, he destroyed Tripoli, then Sousse. He decided to go to...
Against the Christian Corsairs as well.
No, against the Muslim Corsairs
first. Against the Muslim.
So, he destroyed then Tunis, then Bizerte, and Algiers. So it was between 1680 and 1685. So, all the Christian Corsairs were the Muslim Corsairs were destroyed. So the Maltese had nothing to do because they were no longer
An enemy. The enemy has appeared.
So they went in the other part of the Mediterranean, so in the eastern basin of the Mediterranean, and they were catching the Greeks because the Greeks were not Muslims, but they were not really Christians. Mm-hmm. But the Greeks were subjects of the Ottoman Empire. Mm-hmm. So the Ottoman Empire was the ally of the King of France. So the Sultan wrote to the King of France and Louis XIV, the Ottoman Empire had an immediate answer. So when a Maltese went to catch a Greek vessel, the French consul of the area was in jail. And even the traders. So it was the end of French trade. So, Louis XIV was very angry, and he wrote a letter to Père Alliance, and he told him, it's finished. No longer Maltese corsairs. Yeah. So you had at that time very important corsairs, and all the corsairs were not Maltese. They came from everywhere, from Balears, from Corsica, and so on, from there. Okay. So Malta was without
economy.
Without economy, it was the end. So a French knight, Charles Sébastien de Choiseul, wrote five files. Very important. Some of them are in Paris, others are in Malta. And Malta had to become the center of Mediterranean trade. So it was the beginning of the pragmatic sanction of Vienna, 1723, and Malta became a center for trade. So corsairing disappeared really in Malta, but corsairing reappeared in the Mediterranean, because since Louis XIV till the beginning of the 47 of the 18th century, the Mediterranean knew a peaceful half century. Mm-hmm. Because France and Great Britain were allies at that time.
Exactly.
Well, but when at the beginning of the Seven Years' War was a war abroad in India and so on, but
it's always big.
The English mm-hmm. wanted to kill the French economy with corsairing. So we knew a new activity of corsairing in Mediterranean because of the English. So they were from Minorque, but they were also from Algiers, because they were paid by the Jews of Algiers to struggle against the French. And the French needed an help. And they find this help in Malta. So the order was at that time helping the French against the Maltese corsairing. And I am to publish the very important letters that I found in the archives of the Cathedral in Imdina, about 4,000 letters from the French ambassador here. He was a knight. But this ambassador was in charge of watching all the Mediterranean and to write everywhere, in Toulon and Marseille, yes, but also in all the consulate of Africa and Palestine, to say there is a British corsair called so-and-so, and he is coming to... Malta was the center of political and maritime information at the time.
Exactly. It's like a database with everybody.
Yes, this was very interesting. And well, it lasted till the end of the war, so it's 1763. After, course ring disappeared once more. And in the 70s, there was the beginning of the intrusion of Russia in the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. And the Russians struggled against the Ottomans. And they decided to have corsairs. So they paid Greek and corsairs from Ragusa, okay. Dubrovnik today, yes. So against the Ottoman. And those corsairs were Greek, but also from Corsica, because Corsica became French at the time. So those who didn't want to become French left Corsica, and it's the case of Guglielmo Lorenzi, and he became a Greek corsair. So it was during the war of 74-92, you know. But at one time, the eastern basin of the Mediterranean was not frequentable because it was war everywhere. Mm-hmm. So all the French and all the English mm-hmm. went to normally to the eastern basin wheat. So it was impossible to buy wheat. So they decided to buy wheat to Tunis and Algiers. Yes. And suddenly the Bay of Tunis and the Bay of Algiers discovered that it was more important to earn money to sell wheat than to have coarse ring. So exactly. They decided to seed wheat, to put wheat, you know, everywhere, you know, all in all the countries. And they sold. It was the beginning of the end of the coarse ring of the barbaresque regencies. Mm-hmm. And when it was the French Revolution. The French Revolution, you know, it was very difficult because there were no longer French trade. So it was impossible to be a corsair because there was nobody in the Mediterranean. So there was a new country who appears in the Mediterranean. It was the United States. And there was a treaty between the corsairs and the English. And the American were English. Till the 70s, but after the 70s they were no longer English, mm-hmm. So they became the prey of the corsairs. So, you know, the people from Libya, from Tripoli, caught a vessel, an American vessel, and for the American it was incredible to have Americans in jail in this country, and they decided to send a new troop in Tripoli to free those Americans, and this troop are the Marines. They created the Marines to destroy Tripoli in 1805. So, and it was the problem for the corsair, and they had nothing to do. So Malta at the time was French and English. French inside the walls of the three cities and Valletta, and English elsewhere. But the Tsar wanted to catch Malta because he was Grand Master of the Order. So he decided to send somebody who was Guglielmo Lorenzi. And Guglielmo Lorenzi found a Maltese priest, Don Michele Ceri, and they were paid by the Russians to expel the French. And we have a letter of Nelson. If they would have succeeded, they would have hoisted the Russian flag. So Don Michele Ceri, a Maltese hero, was in fact paid by the Russians to make Malta a Russian island.
And that's the complicated story of Don Michele Ceri. Which obviously, although shot by the French,
yes,
who was more on behalf of the party,
yes,
so to speak,
totally.
Than the British. And Lorenzi was then killed by the British, right?
Yes, so, absolutely. It was against the English, exactly. And pro the Russians. So, exactly. So you have this problem of the corsairs. It's really interesting.
kursara fl-Pratana. Illum il-professur Alain Blondi mill-Università ta' Sorbonne u mill-Università ta' Malta qed jagħtina kwadru sħiħ tal-kors of Malta. Qabel qed jgħidilna wkoll dwaru u dwar l-istudju kemm tiegħu u tal-istudenti tiegħu Franċiżi fuq Malta. Komplu isimgħu kursara fl-Pratana.
Could we say that Corsairy, in a way, contributed somehow to the creation of commerce, which was to take its place fully in the Mediterranean?
Yes and no. Yes, because, you know, people was used to receive money. And when corsairing disappeared, they have to find another mean to earn money. And trade and commerce appears. You know, on the opposite, I think it's the liberalism was the end of corsairing, because liberalism was an economic idea, an English economic idea of the 18th century, but it became a real political idea with the American Revolution and the French Revolution. Right. So at that time it was impossible to be an impeachment to trade, you know. So corsairing was against the freedom of trading. Mm-hmm. So in the International Congress of Verona, 1818, it was decided that the corsair has to be destroyed totally. Mm-hmm. And France received a mandate from the International Congress of Verona to expel the Ottomans from Algiers. Mm. So the origin of the colonization of Algiers was this catching away of the corsair from Algiers.
And I think at the same time the revolutions, as you mentioned, liberalized also slavery, which was a very important factor.
Yes, few years after it was, you know, slavery was reintroduced. Yes, during the Empire, because the Empress Josephine was from the Antilles, and yes, you know, she needed slaves.
Exactly.
But it was written that the Christian had no longer to be slaves.
Yeah.
This was important.
Okay, so that's a good step. Once we mentioned in commerce, one of your recent publications speaks about Le Commerce des Oranges entre Malta et la France. We're talking about the 18th century. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's an extremely interesting book. It is in French, but you tell me that it will soon be in English as well.
Absolutely.
And it gives a very, very good example of how commerce of oranges started in Malta somehow, or even before.
No,
but
no,
from Malta it was created in such a large capacity that it exists till this very day, in a way, in France.
Yes,
through Tunisia.
Absolutely, but it's very interesting, you know, but because oranges were very well known, but they were known only for perfume, because they were bitter. Mm. And the Portuguese, in the 16th century, discovered a sweet orange in China. So even nowadays, the orange is called Citrus sinensis, so the lime from China. And they kept them in Portugal, and they were called Red of Portugal. So, for example, orange in Arabic is Portocal, so from Portugal.
Like we say Turkey today.
So, and in Malta, you had several Portuguese grandmaster, and Villena was one of the most important. Villena was the only grandmaster belonging to a royal family. The others were nobles, but he was from a royal family, and he wanted to live like he lived in Portugal, and he planted those oranges to eat. So it was the first sweet oranges that somebody could eat in Malta. And as a present, he sent them to the court of France. And Louis XV had, at the time, four daughters. And they were, big daughters. They like
Robust type.
Absolutely, yes, robust. And they decided to have oranges. So they ordered oranges to the poor French ambassador, whose job was to send oranges from Malta to Marseille and so on. But, when those princesses had oranges, the nobles wanted oranges, so they...
Okay, fashionable.
And it was the beginning of the orange trade of Malta. Mm-hmm. So, that one orange costed at that time the wages of 2 days' wages of a domestic.
It was a delicacy almost.
Absolutely. Yes. It was like caviar today, exactly. Or something like that. So Malta became very rich because of those oranges, So it was interesting. And the princesses, the French princesses, hired a garden, I think in CGV, to have oranges all the year long. So all the French traders came in Malta to have oranges. They were sent. And the letters I found in the archives of Wignacourt College are from a priest who was the rector of the grotto, and he became the rector of the grotto. But at the beginning, his father was one of the most important greengrocer in Paris, like Fauchon today, and he was selling only for the court, and he wanted oranges. So he had two sons. One was a musician, and the other one couldn't do anything. He was a bit stupid, and he told him, "You are so stupid that the only thing you can do is to be a priest." So it is written, So he sent him in the order
to be a
priest, not only to be a priest, but to buy oranges to send him. So this poor priest had received letters from his father. So you have to send me several dozens, but not those of attar, they are not good, but from CGV they are better, and so on. So, and you have those letters. And Malta was very important in the French Revolution. And with the French Revolution, there was no king, there was no princesses, and there were no oranges.
No requests.
And the English came here, they didn't like sweet oranges. They put new oranges for marmalades, so bitter. And when the Maltese left Malta for Tunisia, they went to Tunisia where their trees, with their trees. And they planted their trees in Malta. So nowadays in Paris you have Maltese de Tunisie.
Exactly.
So Maltese oranges, yes, from Tunisia.
But they are from Tunis. Them there.
From Tunis, from Sfax.
Exactly.
Because the Maltese were in Sfax.
Were in Sfax. So there is something still lingering from this commerce.
Absolutely.
With the Malta label in
but
Paris.
Nobody knows the name of Red of Portugal. No, so we call them
exactly
Maltese. Yes, it has this beer. Except in Arabic. In Arabic, Portugal means orange.
So that's the two different words with two different labels.
Absolutely,
for
and
same
the
orange.
Same origin. Yes,
U hemm inħallu l-professur Alain Blondy tal-Università ta' Sorbonne fi Franza u l-Università ta' Malta u nissuktaw l-intervista tiegħu u nagħlqha fl-aħħar edizzjoni li ġejja ta' Kursara fl-ibħra tagħna. Nfakkarkom li aktar kmieni fil-programm millum tajna tarif minn riċerka ta' Noel Danastas dwar id-daqqaqa fuq ix-xwieni tal-orni. Sakemm nerġgħu nitaqgħu l-ġimgħa d-diela għall-aħħar edizzjoni ta' Kursara fl-ibħra tagħna minn aħħar tiegħi Charles Wiereb insemmu.